Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
This Black Friday, celebrate softness season. Tommy John underwear, loungewear, pajamas, 20% off. Go to TommyJohn.com/Herd. Check out the site for details. One of our favorites, Greg Cosell, 42 years at NFL Film. If you bet football, play fantasy football, or just want to get smarter. All right, the first one, it feels like it's pretty obvious. I watched the Cowboys struggle, and my takeaway was they could have used Amari Cooper, and they couldn't block Chris Jones. That's what the game felt like. So you tell me, offense dried up for Dallas. Was it that complex? What happened?
You know, it's really interesting. I was about halfway through that tape, which, of course, was the first half, and I kept saying to myself, I feel like they're playing this game to protect their offensive line as opposed to being proactive and attacking. They obviously played with Steele at left tackle. Once again, Terrence Steele. He played really well at right tackle. He's really had a hard time at left tackle. They played McGovern at left guard. He had a hard time. They never got into any rhythm offensively. They did not commit to running the ball. Maybe the score, which was never really ahead of them, but maybe they just felt being behind changed the flow of the game. But they didn't attack at all in the pass game at the intermediate and deeper levels. So there was just no feel or flow to the Cowboy offense. And I think they played to try to protect their offensive line.
Yeah. You know, later that night, I watched the Chargers Steelers. And, you know, the Chargers have given away more wins than any team in the last decade, I would argue. But Herbert is such a special player, and we're always hyper on, at least I am, on these young quarterbacks because you want them to succeed because football is better when you have good quarterbacks. What do you make of Herbert and his growth? Because he's still, you know, his arc is still growing. He's still a kid.
I would say a couple things about Herbert. Number one is that he has a rhythmic feel to his game. The ball comes out within the structure and timing of the play. You rarely see him, Colin, get stuck in the pocket where it doesn't seem as if he has a throw. He's a quick processor. He's a quick decision maker. And I would also say that he's a desirable combination of pocket efficiency and special throwing talent, both from the pocket and outside the pocket. The last thing is he's a power thrower with precise ball location, and that's rare. Troy Aikman was like that. Carson Palmer was like that. There's not a lot of quarterbacks who are power throwers who can really drive the ball that also can throw with precise ball location.
Yeah, he really is special to watch. So, I mean, listen, I've said this. There's some power dynamics in the Seahawks organization. They need to move some pieces. I don't think it's a very good roster. I don't think their defense schematically or in personnel is very good on the back end. You watch Russell Wilson. What do you make of this offense? Is it O-line? Is it Russ? Is it banged up running backs? What is it?
Well, I think ultimately, and again, this is a conversation I've had with a lot of people over the last number of years. The Seahawks clearly want to establish continuity and stability by running the football. Now, whether that is a Pete Carroll mandate or whether they believe that's the best way to play offense, given Russell Wilson being the quarterback, we don't know the answer to that because there's a definite belief, obviously, that Russell Wilson is a great player and that just put the ball in his hands and let him play. But they do not play like that, Colin, and they've never really played like that. And Wilson came into the league on a team that had a big-time defense and a big-time running back. So they've never really handed the reins to Russell Wilson for any long period of time. So either, as I said, either Pete Carroll, who I'm sure you know, I don't really know Pete Carroll, either Pete Carroll has a firm belief that this is the way you play, or they don't believe Russell Wilson is that kind of lead quarterback.
Yeah, and maybe that's why Russ is unhappy. So Jalen Hurts maybe doesn't throw the most beautiful deep ball, but all I know is people are struggling. He's super productive. They had another big Sunday. They could have scored more points, and the Saints defense is one with a lot of really good players. And what do you make of what is Philadelphia doing over the last 3 or 4 weeks with Jalen Hurts?
Well, it's really the last 2 weeks. In fact, the first 5-6 weeks, they did the same thing in terms of putting him in the gun. They just never ran it. What they've done the last 2 weeks is it's a high percentage shotgun offense. Hurts is the foundation of a multiple run game. It's very similar to what the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson. Conceptually and tactically, it's very similar. It's a run-based offense. Hurts is the foundation because anytime he's in the gun, which is almost every snap, you have the zone read element that's available to you, and that impacts how the defense plays. They've started to add more motion concepts. That also is impacting the defense. The pass game is just core concepts with defined reads and the occasional shot play. This is an offense built on the run game right now.
Yeah. So Buffalo is spiraling, and Josh Allen's numbers have regressed. At times, they don't feel like they commit to the run. In the draft, they attacked the offensive line, so they didn't have a ton of confidence in it. If you could boil it down to a couple of things, what does the film say that is happening to Buffalo's offense right now?
A couple of things, which the film, it jumps out. No viable run game, no commitment to it whatsoever, an O-line that's not good enough in pass protection to throw the ball as often as they want to.
Yeah.
And no explosive plays in the pass game. If you can't run the ball, which means you can't sustain offense, you have to be able to make explosive plays in the pass game. Last year they did. This year they're not. It's very difficult to execute a sustaining offense with the only dimension being the pass. And when you don't have a viable run game and your O-line can't protect well enough, snap after snap, it's just too hard. So what you're asking now is Josh Allen has to be special every play, every game, or we cannot win.
Yeah, that's not a great solution. It's very obvious they don't pass block terribly well up front. So
no, they do not.
So Brady's always been a creature of habit. His sleep, he goes to bed at the exact same time. And so in New England, when he left to Tampa, this is my theory, he got out of his habits. It was a new city, a new house, a new staff. And so he has been looking for comfort and habits in Tampa. What do I mean? He's very good at home. He has not been a particularly good road quarterback. And I think for a guy that's a kind of a habit-forming guy, all this move to Tampa, the new staff, the new playbook, the new teammates, he really likes playing home games. That's why the Super Bowl at home was a big edge. Now he's on the road again, where he has not been the same quarterback. But the interesting matchup to me this week is Jonathan Taylor running against the Buccaneers' run defense, which is it's been difficult to move that line. How does that Colts run game and Taylor match up against the Bucs front defensively?
So then it comes down to schematics and tactics, because you're right. You probably can't just line up and move that D line. Not many people have. So you get into tactics now. Last week, we saw them do something that it's called a wham trap concept. It's very effective event against four-man fronts. What it really does is it encourages defensive linemen to shoot gaps, and then they get blocked by people who they don't expect to be blocked by. So it comes down to schematics, because as I said, you're probably not just going to move them, but I think the Colts, obviously the foundation of their offense is running the ball right now. Although Carson Wentz has played well and has made good throws, this will be a very intriguing matchup in terms of the way the Colts choose to play, because we know that the secondary for the Bucs has been certainly vulnerable.
Okay. Vikings beat the Packers. Green Bay was beat up. Minnesota's the only team in the league that has led every opponent by at least 7 points at one point. Are they special? Is it Zimmer? Is it Kirk Cousins? What do you see with the Vikings? Because they're now we got a couple of back-to-back wins. It's a pretty interesting team.
Yeah, I mean, I think their pass game is probably better than people think. Cousins is one of those guys that in many people's minds, Colin, as you know, the narrative's already been written. He's a certain kind of player, and that's all he is. But say what you want. He's a very productive and efficient player. He doesn't throw interceptions. They're very efficient throwing the ball. I'm continually amazed by how good Justin Jefferson is. I was wrong about him coming out. I thought he'd be a nice player and probably a slot player. He's so much more than that. He is such a refined, efficient, subtle route runner. And I'll tell you what, with his strides, and it's not as if he's 6'4", but his stride length allows him to get vertical. So, you know, I think that this is a very efficient offense with big play ability. And say what you want about Kirk Cousins, he does not turn it over. He does not throw interceptions. Now, having said that, he always has a game where it seems like he throws two or three. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. But overall, if you go back and look at maybe his last 25, 30 games, he's been incredibly efficient.
Yeah. By the way, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Rams defense, how are they going to match up at Lambeau bye week against Aaron Rodgers, who's got a bad toe and he's missing a left tackle and a running back? How do they match up?
Well, the Rams are a zone-heavy team. They play one of the lowest percentages of man coverage in the NFL. So Jalen Ramsey is not a matchup man corner. They do not use him that way. Now, having said that, will there be snaps when he is on Davante Adams? Yes, but they don't use him as, hey, you got him, that's your guy for the game. They're very zone-based. They play more cover four, which is four across, than any team in the NFL. As I said, they play very little pure man coverage. So I think they present defined reads and throws for Aaron Rodgers. I think there'll be opportunities for Rodgers.
Finally, let's get into New England. The defense for New England, it's just amazing to me. I always think, why doesn't everybody do this? It's never the best personnel. You never beat them over the top. I mean, you really don't. They make you work for everything. You get no freebies. Are they the best defense in the league?
I mean, that's hard to say, but they're a unique defense, and the fact that their base defense is three safeties. They don't really play a true base defense. They play big nickel with three safeties. And you could make the argument that two overlooked players on their defense, who may be the key to their defense and allows them to be what they are the safeties Kyle Duggar and Adrian Phillips. They are so important to that defense because they can play both in the box and be effective like linebackers and at times play in the back end. And Duggar matches up to tight ends. And they're starting to get really good play from the rookie out of Alabama, Barmore, who's starting to show inside pass rush ability to win one-on-one. Yep. And, of course, they've got Matthew Judon, who's showing the edge ability. So they're a really interesting defense to watch. They don't play as much man coverage as they used to. Belichick is doing some different things, but they're really, really good.
Yeah, and give us, you got your Patriots is the play of the week, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't do a play this week as far as a breakdown, but all right. But I will say this. Offensively, they're a running football team, Colin. You know, everybody talks about Mac Jones, and Mac Jones has done very well. I mean, there's no question that that's inarguable. But this team is among the league leaders in rushing attempts and rushing yards, and they do it old school. They put Mac Jones under center. They're not a shotgun running team. And don't forget, their rushing yards are not aided by Mac Jones. He's no factor in the run game. So they line up, and they come at you and run the ball. In many ways, they're an old school team. Run game, defense, efficient quarterback. Yeah. That's what the Patriots are. They don't get a lot of big plays in the pass game.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, you start looking around, Buffalo's reeling, Baltimore's hit and miss, Cleveland now, the wheels have come off, Kansas City's not quite right offensively. You look around, and they match up with a lot of people because nobody's going to get in the 30s on them if they play defense like this. Greg Cosell, happy Thanksgiving, Greg.
Thanks, Colin. You too. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, it's that time of year. Everyone's dealing with injuries, and Ezekiel Elliott has been dealing with a knee injury that was re-aggravated Sunday against the Chiefs. But the Cowboys running back won't let the pain get to him. He said it's all right. I mean, it's sore, but it's been sore. I would say it doesn't feel any different than it did this time last week. It's football. You get hurt. You're not going to be 100%. I'm tough. I can play through it. He did have a full practice yesterday, and he said he plans on playing tomorrow, which is good news for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think their run game's a little under. Tony Pollard is a great number two running back. They also were getting real production at a tight end this year. So when they're healthy, they've got everything. When Tyron Smith plays, and you know if CeeDee Lamb comes out of concussion, there's a lot of options here.
Well, he had 9 carries for 32 yards against Kansas City, but they obviously struggled overall as an offense. So they're currently first in the NFC East. They host the Raiders tomorrow and are 7.5-point favorites, which is your big favorite pick in your Blazing Five this week.
Tyron Smith is healthy and CeeDee Lamb practice. I think with those and Michael Gallup coming back and Cedric Wilson, a Raider team can't keep up. There's going to be points scored in this game.
This does feel like, for the first time in a very long time, that you can talk about the Cowboys as a contender and not immediately feel like, am I being fooled? Now, I don't know what they're going to do in the postseason.
No, I think they're better than people think,
but,
actually.
Yes, I think they're a little undervalued, and I think, obviously, Dak Prescott being healthy is a big, massive part of that. Yeah. And what I love most about Dak's story is that he's just so proving how much he was worth that contract. And I love seeing that, because we talked about that contract more than any contract I've ever probably talked about in my career. It was ad nauseum. And it was like, what are you going to do? Like, he is the franchise quarterback, and it's not an easy position to play, the Dallas Cowboys franchise quarterback. So they're atop the NFCs, which I expected them to be, and looking forward to that game tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. So we were just talking about the Rams coming off a bye week, and the big question being thrown at Sean McVay is, what's the plan for Odell? And McVay explained his efforts to incorporate Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I think that's a work in progress. What I didn't want to do is immerse him in some information and then you end up adjusting and changing. So I think you want to be able to foundationally build it the right way, formations, all those kind of things. And then you do need to be specific with the way that we implement the game plan. What does that look like? What positions he playing? Who does that also affect as a result of just some of the moving pieces, different personnel groupings and things of that nature?
I'm really interested to see how they incorporate him, because he's also a very good ball carrier. You can use him in jet sweeps and reverses. They used Robert Woods for some of that. So he's also, you know, he's not the blocker of Robert Woods, but he'll knock you out. I mean, he is a physical for his size. He can lay you out. So I think it's going to work. I don't know the level, but I do think it's going to work.
It's just unfortunate for both parties that Robert Woods is out, because it accelerated the timeline in which he needs to pick everything up and get involved in the offense. So when you had Robert Woods, at least there wasn't the pressure to get him up to speed. I mean, no matter what you look at it, this is a new system. Like, it takes time to learn things. Just because he's a professional player doesn't mean he knows everything that they're doing. I'm sure he will pick it up quickly, but that's still a whole new playbook. Like, that's a lot to absorb in a couple of weeks. Now, the bye week may help, but, you know, the pressure is going to be on for the Rams, and they face the Packers on Sunday and are currently half-point favorites, according to Fox Bet. I think this is probably one of the biggest games of the weekend.
If Green Bay can beat Arizona in Arizona, missing 11 starters, and can beat the Rams off a bye week. Rams are on a bye week. Packers are still missing 7 or 8 of their top players. I put him number one on my herd hierarchy for a reason. When you can win missing half your starters at Arizona, I think Green Bay is, it's very rare that a big brand is underrated. I think Dallas and Green Bay are better than people think, and Kansas City is not as good as we all think.
Well, I like seeing good teams overcome things. That means that you have depth, and it means that you have really good leadership and good coaching. But also, the problem with the Packers for the past couple of years is they were a little bit finesse. They weren't really able to be physical, and that's not the case anymore.
Not anymore.
So Hall of Famer, Michael Strahan, is a Renaissance man, and he announced he is ready for a new challenge.
Blue Origin, they approached me, and they asked if I wanted to be a crew member, and without hesitation, I said yes.
What made you want to do it?
I wanted to go to space. And I believe that this is the way of being innovative, creative, pioneers in aviation, now space travel. And it's going to take a while, but I do believe that it will bring a lot of technological breakthroughs and also innovations to us here on Earth. And I just wanted to be a part of it.
He's going to space.
Got more. I can't. I bungee jumped once. That's enough.
You bungee jumped?
Yeah, off a bridge once. That's enough.
I can't see you doing that. You were talking about your son. He was hang gliding, right?
My son and my daughter are both crazy.
Liv has bungee jumped in South Africa, right?
South Africa, off the world's tallest bungee bridge.
Yeah, weirdly, I would not do that, but I am 100% down to go to space.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be an astronaut when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah, and then I realized, I was wrong, but you got to be a scientist to go to space. That's not the case anymore. I'm definitely not a scientist, as we say all the time on this show. We are not scientists. But yeah, he's going with a crew of 5 other passengers on December 9th. It's coming up pretty soon. It's going to include about 3 minutes of weightlessness, and he'll see the curvature of Earth.
Oh my gosh.
And he's headed to West Texas for more training. And yeah, the first human space flight of Blue Origin launched on July 20th. I'm so down. I volunteer as tribute. Not even just for a couple minutes. Just like see the Earth. Once they start running it, like, and they have the hotel up there and all that.
In space?
Yeah, they're building a space hotel.
Well, like Motel 6 up 2 miles up or what?
No, I mean, it's
a space hotel.
A space hotel, yeah.
I don't, that's flying cars to me. I don't believe it. I've been hearing that for 40 years.
We have like big space.
A space hotel.
Yeah.
Room service, pool.
I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a pool on it, but you'll get to, you know, see the planets and see
you
Earth.
You know what? I got a Four Seasons in every city in America.
You've got great points.
I'm fine. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
J-Max NFL picks tomorrow's headlines today next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Casper.com, limited time, 20% off Black Friday sale online. Casper.com/promo. Check out the merch and details. Store near you. All right, Jason McIntyre, you've been a little bit of a heater on this show, haven't
you? Six straight weeks, 500 or above, picking against the spread on this show. It's not bad. I'll take it.
We both had a winning week last week. Yeah. All right, former newspaper guy, used to create headlines, so we call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. Let's start six games here. Bears at the Lions. What's the headline?
It's a great Thanksgiving game, isn't it? Great way to start the day. The headline will be Matt Nagy. Party of done. Give me the Detroit Lions in a bit of an upset, Colin. By the way, did you know the Bears have the longest winless streak in the league? Because the Lions had that tie a couple weeks ago. Bears five straight weeks. You hear all this dissension and the players are out on Nagy. And now in come the Detroit Lions, Tim Boyle. He could walk into the studio. We would have no idea who he is. Right. I mean, and I think he could pull this off. If you remember the earlier meeting, Lions got to the red zone five times, but kept turning it over. Jared Goff just totally vomiting all over himself. They were 1-for-5 in the red zone, or they could have won that game outright. Listen, I think Detroit starts Thanksgiving with a win, and Chicago starts to get ugly. And it's about as bad as it's been in a while there for the Bears, right?
Yeah, I like the Lions, too. Tomorrow's headlines today, the circling the drain Raiders at the Cowboys.
This what is you your got? Favorite game, right?
No, it's my favorite big favorite team. I think Dallas, with Tyron Smith playing, Dak usually at home performs very well.
We sort of agree here. We're matching shirts today, by the way. The headline will be easy as pie. Boys stick fork in Raiders. The Vegas Raiders seem to be circling the drain right now. It's getting ugly. But I think Dallas wins this on the ground, right? With CeeDee Lamb unlikely. Amari Cooper still out. I saw Cedric Wilson now on the COVID list. So they're going to run the ball. Pollard and Zeke. And as you said, Tyron Smith back. I like Dallas here. Also, this is a good buy low spot for Dallas, right? We thought that, two losses in 3 weeks that, maybe they're not as good. Here come the Eagles. Washington's won. I still think Dallas is the class of the division. I'm not reading too much into that Chiefs loss, are you? I mean, they were beat up. No Randy Gregory defensively.
When you lost CeeDee Lamb at half, Michael Gallup just came back. No Amari. You were throwing. Cedric Wilson was your one.
Yeah. So he's really a three.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. The Bills can't pass block at the Saints.
I killed the Bills on my podcast Monday. Bills Mafia hates me. That being said, the headline will be Stephon Diggs into Thanksgiving spread. I think Buffalo is probably the bet of Thanksgiving. Good number for you, Colin. Favorites on Thanksgiving, 32-14 against the spread, right? You get a short week. You get the better team. I think you maybe get the better coach here. Sean Payton's struggling right now. I know you were on the Saints last week. This Trevor Siemian experiment is just, three straight weeks they've fallen behind double digits in the first half.
Backups are fine until the element of surprise is over and I get film, and then you're like, that's why they're a backup. He can't make that and that throw.
And it sounds like today Mark Ingram's been ruled out. No Alvin Kamara. I don't even know who wide receiver one is. I think the Bills smash him here. Yeah. And this line has gone from 4.5 up to 6.5.
Yeah.
It could touch 7 as everybody's going to bet the Bills. I'm in a Survivor League. It pays out $82,000, Colin. I'm one of 58 people left.
Oh my.
I think the Bills are my team this week.
All right.
I think so.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Brady and the Bucs. He's not as good on the road
The
Colts.
0-5 against the spread, 3 outright losses. The headline will be Carson and Colts get cran-buried. You like the Thanksgiving theme? I think the Tampa Bay Bucs snapped their streak here, right? I mean, the big injury this week, I think the biggest in the league, is this Quentin Nelson situation with the Colts. We don't talk offensive line. A lot of the casual gamblers don't look at it. If Quentin Nelson's out, that's a huge loss. Look at how bad the Colts struggled early this season without him. And Vita Vea is going to be a surprise return for Tampa on that defensive line. I think Tampa goes in and, Colin, if we're looking for a who's the best team in the league, which is a fun discussion every week, it might be Tampa if they win in Indy. You buying that?
No. You know, they don't have A.B., and Brady has...
Well, A.B., he may go. He was in a walking boot last week. That's off. We'll see. You got to monitor this stuff. Thanks. Remember, we do this on a Friday usually. This is Wednesday. So we could see A.B. get in the mix. Gronk returned. You saw him do well against the Giants.
Yeah.
This Colts secondary can be spotty. They face some bad quarterbacks lately. And Josh Allen couldn't hit anything against him. Remember, we picked the Colts outright last week on this show. Josh Allen, outdoors, sketchy, but he goes indoors against the Saints. I think he'll be fine.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Titans at the Patriots. Now Mac Jones is going to see a pass rush.
Yes, he will. That being said, you were early on this. Bill Belichick is back. The headline will be Patriots ain't turducking around. I think they could put on the Titans here, Kyle. Are the Patriots the second-best team in the AFC?
Well,
are they?
Well, momentum-wise, they have the longest streak in the league.
The offensive line is healthy once again. The running backs are back from concussion. Mac Jones not making mistakes. Listen, I had liked the Falcons against them with Thursday. Nobody likes the Falcons. And it was 25-0. That was a beatdown. I think this Patriots team could work the Titans. Colin, did you see how desperate they are? So they cut Adrian Peterson. They just signed Golden Tate. I didn't even know he was still in the league. He hasn't played anywhere. They're desperate for offensive weapons. Their running back group, like, there's a chance you could get carries this week if you were playing for the Titans. I don't know. I think the Patriots smack them around here like 33-7. And we start talking about Belichick and legitimately being one of the best teams in the AFC.
Well, if they beat him 33-7, they will be the
Tennessee
best team.
Tennessee stinks. Ryan Tannehill threw 5 picks against Houston.
Four.
Come on. Oh, four. Sorry, four. Cheating. Four interceptions.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. This game's fascinating to me. McVay and the Rams on a bye against the beat-up Packers.
Very beat-up. That offensive line, we talked about with the Colts. Packers down 2 great offensive linemen. The headline will be Rams serve up Green Bay casserole. I like Aaron Donald. I like McVay and Stafford bouncing back. Stafford's been poor the last 2 weeks. The pick sixes have killed him. I just don't see Green Bay putting up that resistance. If you've noticed the line movement, Colin, opened as Green Bay favored by 2. It's now pick 'em. I think the Rams could go off as favorites here, small favorites on the road. Expect a big run game. That Green Bay defense a little soft. We saw the Vikings, you know, soften them up, and then Kirk Cousins killed him over the top. We saw Cousins have success. Why can't Matt Stafford? I mean, he was an MVP candidate 3 weeks ago, and now he's garbage because he had a couple bad games.
You know, you and I both liked the Rams on our Fox Bet Monday show. We liked him initially. I thought Green Bay. I think what Green Bay is doing right now is amazing. To miss 11 starters and win in Arizona, and to have Minnesota beat last week, they were missing their top corner, linebacker, running back, tight end. They were on their third left tackle. Here's my question. If McVay loses and Stafford is 7-4 off a bye against a beat-up Green Bay team,
are you going to have to recycle McVay genius take?
I'm not pointing fingers. What I'm saying is when Stafford went Detroit to the Rams, the lines didn't move. Detroit was 5 wins with Stafford, 5 with Goff, and the Rams went up half a point. I like Stafford. He's a pretty thrower. But boy, if you're 7-4, this game is built to win. Green Bay is falling apart. Star quarterback Aaron Rodgers has a toe issue. You get a bye. McVay's never lost leading at half, so you know he's going to come in with some tricks early and jump on top.
And what about the Odell Beckham factor? Remember the last game? He played like the first couple series. Oh, we got Odell. And then he couldn't play the rest of the game because he didn't know the sets. Now they've had him 2 weeks in the mix. I think he's a big factor here because Robert Woods is out. Remember, he's their best blocking receiver. And I think Odell has a big game here. I kind of like the Rams a lot here. They'd probably be one of my 5 picks in the contest.
The only thing you and I disagree with this week is I like the Colts. My theory on Brady is he's a creature of habit.
Yeah.
And when he went to Tampa, everything changed. House, neighborhood, playbook, coaches. And so he's really tried to find comfort and habits in Tampa. He's a great home quarterback. But there's too many variables and movement in his life. So you send him on the road, and he's just not – he does not look like the same quarterback.
What about
on the
a
road?
Lot of those road games being outdoors? This indoors, you remove the elements. That play into it all for you?
I'm not saying I would say this. It's still a fairly young team, young players on the road, maybe not as consistent. But he is not the same quarterback.
Yeah.
On the road, and he always was with New England. He didn't play well in Denver, but Patriots home or away, you got the same Tom.
Yeah. Well, you also had Belichick. I don't know if Bruce Arians carries the same clout that Bill does. By the way, to go back to Bill Belichick for a second, I saw Peter King, who we both know, was saying, like, if the Patriots got to the playoffs and won the division, would that be better than Brady winning the Super Bowl last year? I was like, Peter, come on. I know this is nobody had them winning the division.
Listen, Bill Simmons said this 2 weeks ago on the show. Start looking around. Who is definitively better than New England? Nobody. Kansas City has got their defense buttoned up. We got to go. But their offense isn't quite right.
Rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs are terrible, though. We know that.
That is true. All right, Jason, happy Thanksgiving. Same to you, Joy, on a flight to Miami. Ryan, everybody, please be safe on the road, in the skies. It's the Herd.